Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the January 15th, 2026 book launch event with author Kevin Hupschman. This is Annie Chipetta. We are going to not take raised hands till after I'm done with my introduction. I would like to everybody except Kevin to mute.
Hold the audio now on mute.
Okay. All right, there we go. We got some quiet. All right, hold on a second. All right. Thank you, everyone. Sorry about that. So Kevin Hupschman is here to talk about his second novel, a reality fiction novel called Hope for the Best, Expect the Worst, copyright 2025. He's independently published this book with assistance with book preparation by DLD Books. Kevin currently lives in the Carolinas with his wife, Trish Hupschman, who is also an author and has a great mystery series worth checking out online. And we can't forget Henry the dog. This is their beloved dog. Kevin is currently battling a number of health issues, including chronic kidney disease, and hopes to find a living donor so he can receive a kidney transplant. Kevin is also the author of a collection of songs and poems called Outside the Circle, and that was published in 2023. And his first novel, One More Reason to Cry, and that was published in 2024, also by DLD Books. All his books are available on Amazon. And his DLD book site is www.dldbooks.com/Kevin Hupschman. And that's spelled Kevin Hupschman. So Hope for the Best, Expect the Worst is, of course, Kevin's second novel. And it takes place in a tumultuous 1985, when Ken Halsey begins his civil service career and details his many mi mishaps, including dating, working, and ultimately le meeting the love of his life. So, Kevin, congratulations on your second book. Well, it's really your third book, but it's just
Yes.
your second novel. And, welcome, welcome, welcome. Anything you would
Thank
like
you.
to, yeah.
And before I get started, I'd like to say that there's been a kind of a rash of health issues with the members and various people, and including myself, my wife, Leonard. I'd just like to say we're praying for all of you that have these issues.
Thank you, Kevin. Yeah, it seems like the people we know and behind our eyes have definitely have been having our challenges, and our thoughts and prayers go out to all of you tonight. And we've been putting our thoughts of comfort out on the writer's party line, and it's been a wonderful experience for me to read all those comforting thoughts. So, yeah, thanks for saying that.
Sure.
So, how is Trish, by the way? Is she doing good?
She seems to be on the mend. Her blood count, hemoglobin was, down to a 6 when we first took her to the hospital. It's lucky that I decided to get to the bottom of whatever was wrong with her at that particular moment in time, which happened to be New Year's Day, and spent the whole day in the ER. And they didn't know what was going on until she got to the hospital. They did an endoscopy, and they found these two ulcers, which are treatable and healable, but we won't know. Her blood count's back up to over 10, which is pretty good. And she'll go for a follow-up endoscopy in about 6 weeks, so we'll know how far along the healing has been.
Wow. Yeah, that kind of stuff, I guess anything like internal like that, you don't know it's bad until it's bad, right? It's yeah, you don't have like an early warning sign. It just happens.
Oh,
Wow.
man. It's kind of the
Yeah.
same thing with the kidney disease because I don't feel sick. I don't have any symptoms except tiredness. But that could change in a day. So you're always wondering from day to day what's going to happen.
Yeah, carrying that kind of stress is it's difficult to manage, you know?
Very hard to cope with.
Yeah. Well, my thoughts are out reaching out to both of you.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure. All right, so let's go into the book. So my first question is, why did you write this book? You mentioned that it's a companion book, but it's also a standalone book. So could you explain that a little bit?
Right. Well, if you put the two books together, it's kind of a continuous story. But to publish a book of that length, it wouldn't be the smartest thing to do. I mean, I myself, I don't like to read anything that's too lengthy, and you could kind of get distracted with that. So breaking it up into two separate parts, seemed to be the best thing to do. But, one part is not really dependent on the other. It's just two different periods of time.
Yeah, did you have a hard time thinking about where to break the books apart in this, the storyline?
Originally I did, but it seemed like I wanted to break it up somewhere before I actually began what I would refer to as my adult life, getting my first job and meeting Trish and or the character meeting his wife and things like that. So that seemed like a good place to divide it.
Yeah, it does seem like a good place to to give it a natural break. I think for people like, I read your first novel, I read your second novel, and it picked up in a place that was familiar enough for me to pick up the story in my head, but also was it was anticipate, like I anticipated, like what's going to happen next. So I kind of brought my, my memories of the previous book in. But then, I was also like, oh, okay, well, how is this going to influence what's going on? So it was a, to, for me as a reader, it was a good place to break off and then start again.
Right. It starts out with kind of a crazy story, which kind of like transitions into the more adult type of things that start to happen.
Yeah. So when you were writing the book and the names and the places and the timeline, did you have any, like how did you work that all out? Did you have a timeline? Did you have an outline? How did you keep track of all that stuff?
Well, I had been kind of journalizing the whole thing all along the way, and it was just a matter of putting it into a fictional format. And so I really didn't have to concentrate too hard on coming up with an outline. I knew I kind of took the best stories and the kind of the worst stories and just, blending them together as best I could.
So these were all the ideas were from journal entries from your real life.
Yeah, it's something I've been working on for quite a long time. And it's like when I put out my book of songs and poems, those are some of those go, went all the way back to the 80s when I was making some early recordings and things. So I always had, things from the past to draw on, because I like to keep records of things and, so I wouldn't forget. If I didn't do that, I don't think this book could have been written because my memories are not that sharp. I need some kind of triggers to spark my memories.
Wow, that's wonderful. I mean, keeping those journals and keeping them with you and having them to make references and to keep your writing fresh and to keep those memories alive. I think that's wonderful. It's like going to into your personal encyclopedia. Yeah, because I know the older I get, the less I can remember things sharply.
Right.
You
Even
know,
in
and
the
that.
book, there's some things that are just based on my best recollections that may not be, well, it's fiction anyway, but they may not be the most accurate.
Did you have any? Did you have to go back and like double check things? Like, I know you, Ken was fond of having his Camaro and those kinds of early 80s type of stuff. Did you have to go back and look, and like kind of like do any research or anything?
No, not really. I mean, they just have like different kinds of collectibles now. Now that I got a little older, I realized that I don't really need most of the stuff that I kind of coveted, and really just trying to sell off a lot of things now too, to just become a little more bare bones type of person, because the older you get, the less you really need.
Hold on one second. Okay. Sorry about that. I know we mentioned this before we got the recording started, but would you like to describe the cover of your book for us?
I'd like to say that I created this cover using artificial intelligence. I just told the computer what I wanted the image to be like, and I said, create an image of a foot in a sandal. Could be God. It could just represent what I've been, lording over you your whole life and trying to keep you down. So, in the middle of the cover is a giant sandaled foot, seemingly coming out of a rainy, cloudy sky. And there's kind of like a rag doll type of thing. And it's gender neutral, kind of, but kind of crouching on a wood floor and cowering, with the sole of the foot to just above the head, waiting to just crush down on
Oh my goodness. That is just, that's a very vivid image in my head.
Yeah, I
For
think it
sure.
suits the title pretty well.
I would say so. My goodness. And that was AI generated, huh? So what do you think of AI now that it's helped you out? Are
Well,
you
I'd like to use it more in writing songs. I've tried it. There's very few places where you can actually use it for free. I mean, Google has AI, so I use that a lot. Instead of using Google, and it's a lot more accurate. But if you want to do things like video and songwriting and commercial things or advertising, you have to pay subscriptions, and I really don't. I can't afford it, and I'm just not a big fan of subscription type of things.
Yeah, I know ChatGPT lets you do a limited amount of requests. And then after that, they, for the day, and then you have to reset, if, for the free stuff. I think a lot of the other AI generators are similar.
Right. And there's still a pretty gray area with the copyright issue. Like, nobody really knows if you create something on AI, is that yours or is that not yours, especially with music and things like that. Because I'm providing lyrics and the AI is providing music, which I don't have the talent to create. And so if you go to do something commercially with it, I think you could get into some copyright issue.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that kind of stuff to, to create problems, you know, because I know a lot of
Yeah.
people that work with Tsuno and stuff, and they have a these great, wonderful songs, and I'm like, all right, I don't know, you know, like, is it really original or what? Yeah, then we've got to learn as we go, right?
Yeah, but I think it's very helpful to me because I have all these lyrics and nothing to do with them. I know how the song is supposed to sound. And even though AI kind of changes things pretty radically, it keeps the original lyrics pretty much intact. So I get to see my songs come to fruition, you know, that way is the only way it's going to happen.
Wow. So are you actually working on songs with AI? Do you plan on doing anything with that?
Well, I have downloaded about a dozen or so songs that I did on AI, but until we're clear on what the legal ramifications are and the copyrights and things, I wouldn't even post them on YouTube or anything because I don't want to get into trouble right now.
Yeah, I understand. But your cover came out great. So
Yeah,
there's this.
just what I was looking for.
Wow. I did that with my with a logo. I had AI make a logo for me, and it came
Yeah.
out beautiful. Yeah.
You could tell them the size you want, the color, where
Yep.
you want the
Yep.
name, you know, so everything is
Yeah.
planned out.
It's amazing. So how long did it take to actually you know, we know that you had some journals, you had journals to help you write the book, but actually writing the you know, getting the manuscript together and doing all that, how long did that take?
Well, it was just really a matter of editing everything. And, you know, everything was already pretty much in place. And after the first book came out, I had made promises that the next book was going to come out the following year. It did take a little longer than I expected. And the editing was a little bit rough because going over the book now, I can see some very tiny things that should have been corrected. And that really annoys me as a former English teacher and English major. I went over it a few times, and these are things I just didn't pick up, especially when you have to change the names of some of the actual towns and things like that. It could get very confusing. That's why I tried to put in both books a cast of characters so even I could keep track of what was going on.
Oh yeah. Like your cheat sheet. Yeah. No, I had problems with that with both my novels. It was especially if I changed the name of somebody in the middle, you know, going over the editing and even having another person look at it. It was like, there's always going to be something that's you know, missed. There's, you know, I mean, I read popular authors all the time, and you ever read somebody's book and you're like, that's a mistake.
Yeah, I usually read with the intent of, and I watch TV like that too, with the intent of finding
Oh.
mistakes.
Oh, like that doesn't make sense. They, you know, they said so and so's name was this, and then they say so and so's name is that. Like, when did that happen? Yeah.
Yeah, I would have
Funny.
made a great editor, but it was not to be. When I was out of college, I went into Manhattan every day for a year and I tried to get a job as a copyright editor or something in that field, but I guess that just wasn't meant to be.
Highly competitive, and it still is, right? Even with all of that, it's always
It's
been.
something I love to do though.
Yeah. Well, it definitely pays off for you writing your books for sure. So you did your writing and your editing, and DLD Books did your book preparation, right? But not necessarily your editing.
The last two books actually, first one also, I just needed help with the actual publishing process, which I probably could have figured out too, but It was just getting to be too much for me. So, David's great, and he works very quickly. Also, Leonore was saying, she's had a lot of health problems, and she kind of gets behind in editing. She has a big stack of things to edit now. So, if I was going to publish it on the timeline that I wanted to, I needed to do the editing myself, and I'm certainly capable of doing it.
Right. Yeah. No, yeah. It seems like the last couple of years, a lot of people we know, on and off have had this and that and setbacks and stuff. So,
Yeah,
and
just time.
yeah, I guess it happens, the aging process is not, not an easy thing. We have to be brave, we have to move forward, right? So what about book sales? Are you concerned about that? Yes, no, maybe,
No, I
no.
don't really keep track of it. I'd like to find a way to get more exposure, even like it would seem to me to be a good angle for a local TV here that you have a husband and wife. Both are on disability, both are authors. It seems like a great story to do because you see some of these stories on the news and they're really nothing. I mean, just local, that doesn't really have much interest. But I tried doing that and did not get any interest in that.
Well, I hope you don't give up because, it pays to be persistent, right? But the and when you publish your own books, there can be a perceived bias, we all of the marketing and the all that agenting and all that stuff that happens in the traditional published for traditionally published authors just don't happen. Just doesn't happen, and we have to take it on ourselves. And I don't know much about marketing, just from what I know, so it's definitely a challenge, and I wish it would change. The only thing that will help is money, right? And I don't have the, I don't know, thousands of dollars for marketers. It's,
Well, if I had that
I
kind of
don't know.
money, I'd put up a billboard looking for a kidney rather than.
Yes, you have more important things to do with that, for sure. Yeah. I hear you. Yeah. But we're here doing what we love, so. Speaking of that, so this is something that you obviously love to do, you're good at. What's in the future for you? In terms of your creativity and your writing.
Well, I think I'm going to concentrate more on songwriting, especially if I can get something going with the AI. It was kind of easier to write based on my own experiences than to come up with, something that's totally fictional. I mean, AI would help with that, but you would have to have an outline and structure, and you have to be pretty disciplined to write a book like that.
I would agree with that for sure. Yeah. So how much of this book is you on a percentage scale from like 1 to 100?
Well, I would say pretty much all of it, except for, different or altered versions of what actually happened. But in one form or another, I would say most of the book is based on things that actually happened in my life, for better or worse.
Thank you for answering that question. So what I was impressed most with this book was that despite the odds, Ken did find times where he found something to hold on to, something positive, something to look forward to, something that kind of rescued him in a way. And and then I was thinking, well, it could have gone much worse for him. It could have gone the way of, some really serious, serious downturns, or more than just passive thoughts of, harming himself or taking risks and stuff. So what, I just want to know, like, what was it that kept him from taking that wrong turn and perhaps going, down a really, something worse?
Well, one thing that saved me from especially from the drug aspect was I never really had an addictive personality. The reason some people go down that path is because they have highly addictive personalities. People that can't stop smoking, people that have to wake up every morning and smoke marijuana or do other kinds of drugs. That was never a problem with me. All I had to do was make the decision that I wasn't going to do this anymore and there had to be something better than this. And I was able to do it in almost every case. And that included, starting to date, finding someone who would love me and things like that. Because my early growing up, my family was not supportive. And in the book, I kind of make my mother especially look like she was kind of supportive, but the older I got, the more I realized that she really was not there for me. In fact, at the end of the book, I published these, put these lists of the flaws in my both my parents and my brother, and you can see that. It really wasn't a lot of support there. It was more like whenever I started to do something like school band or karate or sports or anything like that, it was just very easy for them to just say, "Well, if you don't like it, you're not good at it, just quit." There was no encouragement there. So I had to gather that strength as the years went by, just on my own, saying that I refused to be, defeated like that.
So what message would you have for people struggling with their self-identity or their resilience when they're feeling low? I mean, what would you say to them now?
Well, if you're young enough, I mean, just choose better friends. I mean, you may think that, like I did or Ken did, that the only way to even have friends was to just have bad friends because those were the people that were around. But I would say that if you have no friends right now, it's still better than the getting these bad influential friends. And the older you get, it becomes even harder and harder to make new friends. So I would say keep your ties with your family as strong as you can. In my, or Ken's case, in my case, I couldn't do that. And getting married, I thought that I would have the chance for a second chance for a family that supported me and cared about me. But, unfortunately, that turned out to be as bad or worse than my own family was. And you should just try to keep bonds with the family. Don't, not see each other or things like that over stupid little things, that because later on you're going to realize when you get into a situation like mine that it becomes extremely difficult.
Well, you and Trish have made your own family and your relationship, and it's to me, it seems that you've both overcome a lot and you make each other stronger.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know where I'd be if without her.
And Henry too.
Yeah.
I'm sure
Been
he's
pain
very
though,
sweet on both of you. Yeah.
lately he's been waking me up in the middle of the night to go out, so that's not fun.
Well, you know, that's what dogs do. They do
Yeah.
their own thing. How old is Henry now?
He's going on 8. He'll be 8 in June.
Yeah. Aw, sweet. All right, so we are at the 7:33, and we're gonna open up to anybody that has questions. We have a pretty intimate group here tonight, so you can just unmute yourself and say your name and ask your question. Anybody have questions for Kevin?
If not, I could tell you the hardest and the saddest part of writing the book for me was the death of my father. I mean, I didn't really see that coming. And it was like they moved to Florida the same year that, it had only been 2 years since I got married. And luckily, my father was well enough to attend my wedding. Yeah, when my brother got married in 95, he was not able to attend. And that was the year that he died. And, it was just such a quick decline. I talked to my mother, and she'd say, well, he had a colostomy, and the doctors say he has like a year to live. And then it was a month, and then it was a week. And then I got the phone call, and just rereading that now, it just really just affects me. Because I don't think I can ever get over that.
Audio now
Hi,
unmuted.
Annie. This is Deborah.
Yes. Hey, Deborah.
Hey, as I said earlier, but congratulations, Kevin,
Thank
on
you.
your book, and I wish you a whole lot of success with
Thank you.
it. And where did you come up with that title? You have some interesting titles. Where did you come up with that title?
Well, that's always been my motto. I mean, it's I go into a doctor's office and I say that to them, and I don't know, I must have picked it up from somewhere, but it seems like I've been using it for a long time in various situations. And it really is true though, because usually I do hope for the best, and usually does not turn out so great. So, that's what it is.
Right. Yeah. Thank you. And do you, I know you said that you were going to do some shorter projects. Do you have any plans to do any other novels later on?
Well, my focus right now is living day to day and getting through this process of getting a kidney transplant. Once that's over, I think I can stop holding my breath and relax a little bit and think a bit more about the long term, because right now I just think about what might happen in the short term, so I can't really focus on anything else except taking care of myself and taking care of my wife and just doing the best I can right now.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Deborah. You know, Kevin, I know you're Jewish, and Trish is not Jewish. I don't know if she's religious or whatever, whatever. So do you, how does that work? Like, I've known, couples that, they have different religious views and stuff. Has that ever been an issue? How do you think of yourself within your relationship? I mean, I've always been curious about that.
Well, I think it becomes more of an issue when there's children involved, which we don't have. My father like really drilled it into me that you have to be what you are, and he didn't like going into Manhattan and seeing these Jews with Jesus. Like he'd make comments about them, which I don't particularly agree with, but he wouldn't step foot in a church. And for a long time after I got into this family, through the marriage, I kind of like felt the same way because of what he had drilled into me. But then eventually I realized that, that religions are not really that different. I don't know why there's so much hatred, but it's basically Christians have an extra book of the Bible, and the first book is the same for everybody. So I try to be a lot more tolerant of that. We don't go to church or anything like that, but my brother did because of his children and everything. He converted to Christianity. I guess he just thought things would be easier. I don't think like that. I think what you're born into, it's even if it's hard to be a Jew, that's just you just have to deal with that.
Thanks for answering that. Sally, I think you have your hand raised, right?
Yes. Kevin, congratulations on the book. And I'm wondering, many of us have chronic illnesses and we also write. And I'm wondering how that is for you. Do you find that writing takes a lot of energy from you that you need to put into other things, or does it help you feel more resilient? Or does it differ day from day?
Well, yeah, writing right now would be very, very difficult for me. I don't have many things that I do to kind of relax. I do like to keep up with music, and I download a lot of music and things like that. And I keep organizing, different kinds of music, and that's pretty much what I do right now. But like I said, I'm open to the idea of writing, somewhere down the road. I just have to get past this major hurdle.
Yeah. Well, I wish you and Trish and Henry all the best.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sally. Kate,
You're
you're
welcome.
next.
Congratulations, Kevin.
Thank
And
you.
I have a cautionary word to the wise. If you are going to donate your book to Bookshare, I did that with my book, and my major character's name was Ken. When KEN was in the middle of the sentence, or capital KEN had a comma after it, the I guess it's AI or the artificial speech did say Ken. But if my character, capital KEN, was followed with a period, suddenly my character's name is Kentucky. So, a word to the wise. I don't know how you would change that if you wanted to donate your book to Bookshare. My question is, how high are you on the kidney donation list?
Well, you would not believe how difficult it is just to get on the list. I know everybody usually knows somebody that's had a kidney transplant, and you kind of wonder about what it was in different states or if it's the same everywhere. But in the Carolinas, I started this process like early last year, and the part of the problem is they don't let you know anything that's going on. They don't let you know where you are in the evaluation process. If you do get a living donor that signs up and applies, they won't tell you if somebody did. They won't give you any information. And right now,
Oh.
I'm hoping that I'm towards the end of the process. I did everything they wanted. I was worried that because I have a little bit of coronary artery disease, nothing major that might stop me from being. But they, eventually, when you have everything in place, they have this big committee of doctors and social workers and people from the dieticians and people from the hospital, and they all get together and they vote on whether you're going to be eligible to be even placed on the list. So that hasn't happened
Oh.
yet. There's only two transplant centers in our area. One is in South Carolina, and the other one is in Charlotte. So I'm kind of going through that with both of these places. But believe it or not, the biggest hurdle would be that they insist that you have caregivers in place, before, during, and after the surgery. So, like if I go to Charlotte, and they won't let me. me go unless I have somebody with me that's going to stand up as my caregiver. So I figured I don't know anybody. I have no friends here. I have no family, no support. So I'm going to go to an agency and I'm going to hire people and I'm going to pay them by the hour. And they did come with me for a few of these sessions, but then the transplant center started making it clear that they don't want paid caregivers, which doesn't make any sense to me. But I guess from a
Oh.
social standpoint, they want you to have a friend, a neighbor, but even a total stranger, which I had to kind of recruit by going on local internet. And I finally, luckily, I got some people, but I don't know how reliable they are. But just to satisfy their requirements and get on the list, this is what I've had to do. So hopefully, once I'm on the list, some of these people will still be around. The problem is, if you have a living donor, you can schedule the surgery, and that would be great because then you could tell the person and work around their schedules. A lot of these people are mothers with kids, and it's amazing that no men have done anything to donate or to help me in any way. It's just usually it's just the women that have raising kids. And but if I go on the deceased donors list, I could get that call, 3 years from now at midnight, and I have to be at that hospital for the
Oh.
surgery. And that makes things really, really difficult.
Yeah.
Sure. Well,
Plus,
best of luck, Kevin, and with your
I
book
have to
too.
leave Trish at a moment's notice, and you can't plan for
Yeah.
something.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Linda, you have a question.
Yeah, Kevin, congratulations. I haven't yet read your book, but I probably will soon. My question really is more of a, I hope you're continuing to keep a journal. Because I had a liver transplant a few years ago and fully intended to write about it. Except that I did not keep a journal. And so I don't have the information that I really would need to write that second book that would cover that liver transplant. So I really wanted to encourage you to continue to keep a journal of both how you're feeling and what's going on otherwise in your life. And certainly I will keep you in my thoughts and hope that something comes through sooner rather than later.
Okay, yeah, that's something I would definitely be interested in doing. And yeah, I'm going to need to keep notes on these things because the older you get, the less you remember. And so, my mother has dementia. She doesn't know who I am. She hasn't spoken to me for 5 or 6 years now. She's in Florida. And, I would just pray that something like that doesn't happen to me.
Well, thank you, Linda, for that encouragement. I think that if I were going through something like that, it'd be a good idea to just,
Well, it
to the for just for catharsis more than anything else,
the problem is that when you're in I mean, when I was experiencing liver disease, it was really hard for me to then turn around to keep a journal. And I think it gets harder when you're not feeling well, and there's a lot going on in your life, Kevin. So I would totally understand if you weren't able to do that, but I think if you can keep a journal, it will pay off in the end.
Yeah, definitely agree with you.
Hi, this is Lisa, and I just wanted to also say congratulations to you.
Thank
And
you.
it takes a lot of courage to be, go through all this and be open about it and vulnerable. I have had experience with my first husband had two kidney transplants. My question is, what kind of music do you like, and does it help you become calmer listening to it?
Well, yeah, I kind of like harder type of music, hard rock, classic rock, heavy metal. I kind of like the newer style of country now because it's more of a rock type of music. Things that give me a headache are classical and jazz. Those are the kind of things that, I mean, I'll always like the Beatles, number one. They'll always be my favorite. But some of my other top choices would be much heavier.
What about Led Zeppelin?
They are my top five.
Yeah, me too, for sure.
Pink
Yeah.
Floyd. I also like insightful lyrics. So, that it could be really be any style if the lyrics are, first of all, intelligible and thought-provoking, insightful, then I really appreciate that.
Have you ever thought of just making a book of your lyrics?
I've done that. My first book that came out was called Outside the Circle.
Oh, yeah.
And more than half of that book is lyrics from song.
Do you have more, Kevin, that you haven't published?
I have my AI stuff, and so it's like I said, depending on how these copyright things go and things like that, or if I come into some money and I'm able to afford a paid service, because I think when you pay for the service, I think you can own the material a lot easier than with these free services. So, who knows what's going to happen down the road with that.
There are
Right.
people in the writer's party line that write music. I mean, I have, but I don't write rock music. I don't know what. Oh, I can't think of his name right now. Tyler. I don't know what kind of music he writes, but you might maybe someday think about trying to collaborate with someone.
One thing I'm pretty good at is I used to have a friend that had all these leftover instrumental music that he didn't know what to do with. So I would write lyrics for all those things, and some of those lyrics are in my book. But those are the kind of things I can do. I can't really pick up an instrument, and I know what I want it to sound like, but I can't get that
Yeah.
sound because I just don't
Right.
have that kind of talent.
Yeah. Yeah,
So,
it's kind of like fooling around on a keyboard and not really know what you're doing.
yeah.
I have the keyboard in my room, but I hardly ever touch it.
So Kevin, we're close to the top of the hour. Do you have any parting remarks, or anything off the top of your head, before we move on to our closing announcements and stuff like that?
Well, I would just encourage everybody to do what they love doing the best, to find something that you love doing can be very difficult. I have my hands full now, taking care of us and everything like that. So I just every night I go to bed, I just pray that tomorrow will be a little bit better. That's the only wisdom I can impart to anybody.
Yeah. Well, that's
Uh,
good.
yeah, keeping hopeful and keeping open to possibility, right?
no,
Yeah.
absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being here tonight, Kevin, and congratulations
It
on your
was my
book. And
pleasure.
yeah, and I hope to see more of your writing soon.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're gonna give it to Lisa and she's
Yep.
gonna close out our event tonight.
Okay, thank you. And I just want to thank everyone for being here, who've come. And I'm just going to talk a little bit about the Behind Our Eyes that we affectionately call BOE. We have pilots to welcome new members. We have a main email list where anyone can post their poetry or their essays or their stories. We do have some word limits, but they're pretty reasonable. Then we have a genre and marketing list too. We have Sunday night programs. Some of them are ones where we invite speakers to come and talk about a writing topic. On some of them, we've also done critique nights and we have done a few workshops. We have Friday write-ins where people come and they say what they want to get done in an hour, and then they come back and they say whether they have been successful, and they get a lot of support with their writing. We have once a month submission parties in which people can say what they want to submit to, and then they come back and tell how that went. We have writers exchange classes that are free. Somebody within the group will create a class, and then members can take that class. We've had three anthologies published, and we are working on a fourth one. We have our magazine, Magnets and Ladders, that's published twice a year. We have a once a month readers workshop where the main point is really reading your work out loud and learning how to do that and feel comfortable. And of course, we have these book launches, and we have a web liaison. And did I miss anything? A website. We have a website. www.behindoureyes.org. Did I miss anything?
No, man, you got it
Okay,
all.
I've written it down now so that I won't forget stuff. Anyway, thank you so much, Kevin, and thank you everyone for being here. And we're having a board meeting on Sunday night, and I hope everyone will, come and participate in that. And I will say good night.
Thank you, everyone. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.